you know, keep on going, press on. Last thing I want to say, because I want to get right into the message this morning. We are on the 27th. We will have printed material most likely next week, invitations, flyers to go out. There should be invitational information already up on the website. I believe it is up there already. If not, it will be this week, which will give you the information about the night, the Messiah, and the Passover on the 27th. And we really do hope that you all can make it. I'd love to see, invite family, friends, people to come. I think it'll be a wonderful night. I'd love to see every seat filled. It'll be a wonderful thing. So, Father, bless your word now to our hearts as we have set at the wonderful table, your table, to remember what you've done for us. Now let us together read your word, give these lips the opportunity, Lord God, and the ability to speak what you would have them speak, and let us have ears to hear and hearts to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. So we talked about unity last week, the worthy walk, this walk together that we have, this wonderful unity that we cannot create. It's what Jesus did for us and in us, and he prayed for us to be one, but we have to work to keep that unity. If you didn't hear the message last week, you can go online or on the app and listen to it, you know, when you get home later. But I want to continue on in Ephesians chapter 4. Because we're going to see in some way today in these verses that we have how God works this unity in the church. One of the things that God is doing, or some of the things God is doing to work this unity that he created, this unity that we have to keep with one another and work to keep at it. But what is God also doing? Verse 7, as we pick this up, he says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." By the way, God's measuring system, God's measures are awesome. when he measures out his love towards us, we don't know how high or how deep or how wide, how long it is. You know, he measures out his mercy to us. We don't know. His mercies are new every morning, amen? When he measures out his grace to us, the measure that he gives us is abundant. His grace is abundant. So he says regarding the measure of Christ's grace, when he ascended on high, this is from Psalm 68, if you heard about Psalm 22 this morning, some other places, this is from Psalm 68. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things, obviously referring to Jesus. Obviously referring to the fact that he came to this earth, that he lowered himself, he took on humanity, that he became flesh. Some even go further to say that we know that when Jesus died on the cross, he went to the heart of the earth, to that place of where the souls were, and he preached there. The Bible tells us that. Peter brings that out, and we know he did that. And some say that when he left that place, that he brought those with him that were on the Abraham, the comfort side. You can find this out in Luke 16, that they came up with him, that he also then showed that he was victorious over hell and of death. And he led the captivity captive and those that were captive with him to set them free. You know, whatever it specifically means, Jesus did this. He came to the earth. He went to that place of the dead. He went to that place where the souls are, I should say. He did rise. We know that they came alive with him, or they came back with him. But he also is coming back. But in the meantime, he ascended back to the Father. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now. And he's given gifts to us, amazing gifts. Jesus said, by the way, in John chapter 16, and I'm sure you're familiar with this, at the time, as they were celebrating the Last Supper, as we call it, this time that we reflect as communion, he said to them, you know, it's good that I go away. I always try to put myself in the place of certain people in the Bible when these events are taking place, and I try to put myself in that room, being, you know, amongst the people there that were hearing these words, and I try to think how I would react not knowing what I know because I've read the book, knowing what they knew and how much they had, and to think about Jesus. They know something big's coming down. He's told them many times that he's going to die, and but they're not quite fully receiving it. They can't really understand it yet. But then he goes on to say that it's actually good if I go away, and I can imagine him saying, no, it's not. It's not better. How could you say it's better that you leave us? This, in the same way that Mary Magdalene on the day of the resurrection, you know, when she saw the risen Lord and she grabbed him, you know, I in my mind, I'm thinking she gave him this bear hug and she's holding him so tight like this. I'm never going to let you go. Don't leave me anymore, you know. And he said, Mary, I got to go. He says, I got to send back to my father. It's good for you. It's good that I go. Why was it good that he would go? Because he's going to send himself as the Holy Spirit, not only to be with them for a while, but to live in them forever. You know, while he was on the earth, though he was fully God, he was limited by his humanity. He could only be with them wherever he was. He says, it's better if I go, because I'm going to come back and I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon you. I'm going to fill you with my Spirit. I'm going to come to live within you. And he gives us gifts. And he himself, Jesus, verse 11, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I've had people over the years come up to me and just walk up to me and say, you have a fivefold ministry? I go, what? I know what they're talking about. I always play, like, I'm play dumb, you know. You have fivefold ministry? I'm like, is it some kind of like badge? Oh, are you an apostle? And are you a prophet? And are you an evangelist? And are you a pastor? And are you a teacher? Do you have the fivefold gifts, the fivefold ministry? And I'm like, I don't know all about that. But honestly, that's actually incorrect to even talk about the fivefold, because there's really only four given here. We separate sometimes pastor and teacher, but in the original language, it's one. So he gave some to be apostles, some he gave to be prophets, some he gave to be evangelists, and some he gave to be pastor teachers. That's one of these gifts, one of the offices that he gives to the church. Now, I don't want to get into too much, you know, explanation, if you will, or get into this too deeply. And there's some that believe that, you know, these things are not, some of these offices, if you will, are not there today. And I would say that the office of the 12 is the apostle. No, it is no longer. There will be never any that were the original. There will not be. They were the original. They were there. But from the standpoint of the work of an apostle, I believe that if you will, the work of an apostle still continues to some degree today. It means one who is sent with authority to go, to build, you know, to bring the gospel. Many modern-day missionaries do the work of an apostle. They're not apostles in the sense of the office, but they do the work of an apostle. They go to where they've never heard the gospel before. They go and lay the foundation, not their own foundation, not a new foundation, but the same foundation that Paul said he laid the foundation. You could build on that. So they put that foundation and say, okay, we're going to build. So there is that work, if you will, of an apostle that I believe goes on to some degree today, but not like the original 12. Prophets. Well, in the early church, there were prophets, but we recognize today that there is a lot of division in the church to whether that is still an office, you know, or even a gift today. And I will simply say it this way. When it comes to foretelling into what future may be, there's no new revelation that is going to be given. We have the full revelation. So I can tell you flat out that there's nobody getting a word from God that says, "This thus saith the Lord, this is what now the Bible should say." I've heard some so-called prophets, and I could tell that they are false prophets because they are saying things like this. I heard one say one time, "Well, as I was meditating on God's word, God spoke to me and told me to tell you that he made a mistake, and this is what he meant to say." I'm like, "Whoa, gee." Click, you know, come on. Now, of course, it was something self-serving. you know, God told you to give me money, you know, or something like that, some nonsense like that. No, there's no new revelation today. Not at all. We have the complete revelation of the Word of God. Praise God for that. But I'll tell you, I don't think I would want to listen to somebody teach or preach the Word of God who did not prophesy. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Not only does it sometimes has the meaning, and this is in the original language, of foretelling something in the future, it also means forthtelling, telling something from the Word of God with conviction and authority. So I want those who are preaching and teaching the Word of God to prophesy and to say, when the Bible says, when Jesus said, this is what he meant and this is what it means and this is what's going to happen, because this means we believe what it says. You have to say it with conviction, with authority. You know, I have no trouble saying, thus saith the Lord, when it's from the Word of God. I can definitely tell you, thus saith the Lord, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I can say that, and I will say that, thus saith the Lord, because he did. And in that way, I want to have those of us who speak forth the Word of God, speak forth with authority, conviction, as the Holy Spirit would give us the opportunity to speak forth his Word. Not to say, well, maybe it is, and I'm not quite sure about this. No, 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 no. It's God's Word. Stand upon it. Speak it. Speak it with the authority of the Holy Spirit as he gives you the opportunity to speak it. Evangelists. How many evangelists do we have in the room today? Okay, we got one here. Any other ones? Well, guess what? You may not have that gift or office of evangelist. There is an evangelist in the church today. But we're all supposed to do the work of an evangelist. Right, Jack? We're all supposed to do that work. That means whether or not you have that giftedness, we should all be open to the opportunity to share the gospel, to tell somebody about Jesus, to share our testimony, to share the word, invite them to church, invite them to a special event we're having, invite them over to our house just to talk or whatever, and whatever it might be, offer to pray for them. We should do the work of an evangelist. Pastor teachers. Well, for those who believe that the two or three of the other offices aren't at all there today in any form, they always make sure this one's there, because if they said this one's not there, then they wouldn't have a job. So they always make sure that pastor teacher's still important today. But obviously we do have pastors and teachers in the church today. It is listed as one gift because a pastor who is a shepherd should be apt to teach. We're blessed here at the church that we have several that teach the Word of God, and they do a wonderful job in teaching the Word of God. It's a much-needed gift in the church. This is the gift that God gave to us. These are some of the gifts that God gave for us. Why? To equip the saints. To equip us. See, there is something that is many times wrong in our thinking about how we conduct church and how we go to church. Many think that, okay, there's certain jobs, like I can do this job and that's what I can do, and I can do just this job, and then the other jobs, when it comes to things that are more important, well, that's for the pastor or the elder or the deacon, you know. Well, you know, yeah, there may be certain responsibilities they have, but we all do this work together. We all have to at times do the work of an evangelist. We all have some time to teach. You may not do it in a formal setting, but maybe coming alongside somebody in the way that Philip did when the eunuch was reading out of Isaiah and he didn't know what it meant, and he just got right up on with him and said, let me just share with you what it means. Yeah, that's teaching. He was instructing him. We all have that opportunity to do these things. But how does that happen? Well, we come together, and one of my greatest responsibilities I take very seriously is by preaching and teaching the Word of God, that we equip one another to do the work. So just raise your hand and just say, I need to be equipped. Come on, we need to be equipped. And it's my responsibility. Robert has a responsibility. Others that we have in the church that take part in teaching and sharing in that way. We have that responsibility to equip us to do the work of the ministry. And guess where the ministry is? It's all over. It's in your home. It's in the job. It's where you go to school. It's where you come to church. It's where you just go shopping. Anywhere the Lord will give you an opportunity. But we need to be equipped. How long does this take place? When does it stop? When does these gifts that Jesus gave us go away? Well, it says till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. Guess what that means? It's going to continue as long as we're in this world. When we all get to heaven, right? You know the song, what a day of rejoicing that will be, right? When we all get to heaven, then you know what? Those things aren't going to be needed anymore. We'll be perfected then. But until then, we need these gifts. It's great to have them. Thank you, Jesus, for giving them to us. And we should avail ourselves to these wonderful gifts and say, Lord, first of all, we should be praying one for another. Pray for those that have the responsibilities in those particular, you know, ways to administrate the gifts that way. But also be praying for one another that we would be equipped to do this work. And then let us continue to press on to become more like Jesus. Let us continue to come to this wonderful unity that we talked about in the faith. I have a lot of stories that I can tell you about how I've learned firsthand about the unity. I shared one with you last week about how the Pastor's Prayer Fellowship came together and how God worked through us to impact communities, impact churches, and impact communities. And I just want to share something very quickly because I think it's very important for us to understand this. We were asked many times, our group, to come and visit other groups, prayer groups or other groups around the Philadelphia area and say, you know, they wanted to know our secret. What's the secret? We hear what's happening in South Philly. We hear what's happening amongst the what's your secret? What's this all about? So we would come and we would share what God's been doing. And we tell them that we are a prayer fellowship and that we intentionally have prayed together, that the Lord would, you know, that oneness that we already have, that he would allow us to experience that oneness and that we would, you know, have that oneness be realized in our lives and how he broke down the walls that did divide us at some point and how he united our hearts together in one and in the faith and all these wonderful things. And they would listen to the story and they say, okay, but what are the keys? And when we say, prayer. No. Give us the 5 bullet points, the 5 keys. No. It's just prayer. No. We've been praying for 30 years. I said, well, I'm sure you have. But did you intentionally pray that the Lord would show you how to be one? No. Give us the keys. There's got to be keys. No, it's just prayer. Intentional prayer. Prayer. It's prayer. We just prayed together. Yeah, but what did you do? You had to do something. No, we just prayed. Had to be more. No more. We prayed, and God the Holy Spirit sovereignly answered that prayer and did the work that he only could do in our hearts through prayer. See, as a pastor, teacher, I want to be able to instruct from the Word of God. But we have to recognize that it also has to become something that has become real to the one that's given instruction. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. There was a church in Germany several months ago, from what I understand, at least a Christian in name church. By Nagy, I don't know them. I don't know what they believe. But it was a Christian church who, when they got to church on a Sunday, the entire message was given by artificial intelligence. 100%. Artificial intelligence. And from what the people that heard it, there was mixed reaction, but many were very favorable. They said it's one of the best sermons we ever heard. It hit all the points. It was well given. I think they even used a hologram to speak it out, if I'm not mistaken. That part I'm not sure about. I think it was a hologram that spoke forth in this. And they said, well, this is wonderful. I can get a computer to come up here and give a message every Sunday. But is that what we want? Do we want just facts? Do we want just eloquence? Do we just want just have a good handle on the language to make points in a way that we can maybe from our human minds receive them and maybe even tell some stories that are... No, we want something that says this is from the Word of God, from the power of the Holy Spirit, through an individual who has known Jesus, who has walked with Jesus, who talks with Jesus, who has shared these things with others, who has had these experiences. We need to know that we've experienced this, that when we speak and we share, like when I share to you about the things that I experienced about the unity, and I know it's not theory, how possible it is that I've lived it, that's a personal testimony. That's part of my story. I can look you in the eye and say, yes, this is what took place. And I can say it with conviction because I lived it and I saw the power of God, his word, come alive in our hearts. A computer can't do that. You know, the Bible talks about people that will have a form of godliness in churches in the latter days, but denying the power thereof. No, we need those with conviction who have given their lives to Jesus Christ and been born again, that have that experience that we all have had, who have walked this walk and have fought the fights and have cried the tears and have laughed with joy and have gone through the ups and the downs to be able to say, but through it all, God's word never fails. His word will always come to pass. I don't remember the gentleman's name. Our elder Joe Peely maybe remember it, but he only preached in the church in Philadelphia once or twice back when I was a new believer, and he was a tall guy about my height, real tall guy. He used to walk back and forth, and he used to say he was an Old Testament preacher, and then he would, every once in a while, he would stop and say, you know why I love this book? It works, like that. And he would go on to share from the Word of God and give, you know, testimony about how God in his life, the power of the Word of God transformed his heart, transformed his life, transformed others. Others' lives. We need to hear the Word of God. We need to read the Word of God. We need to hear good preaching. We need to hear good teaching. Because we need to do this, because we have to grow, because we're in this process of becoming more like Jesus. We want to get to that measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I don't want any of us to be children that are tossed to and fro. Every little thing that comes down the pike, everything, church, comes down the pike to the church. I mean, there's nonsense that's all over. There's books that are being sold and videos that are made, and it's sheer nonsense. And people who are not grounded properly, who are not being taught properly, who are not availing themselves to the good preaching and teaching from the Word of God, they will be caught up with any little wind of doctrine that comes down. And it's like a wind. You're blown over here for a while. Oh, this is good. Oh, now I'm over here. No. Stand rooted and grounded in his word. That we are equipped and we're becoming more like Jesus every day. I don't want us to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. I don't want us to, you know, be seduced by the trickery of men in the cunning of craftiness, of deceitful plotting. But I want us to one another, but from here, from the pulpit, from the Bible study, from everywhere else, I want us to speak the truth in love to one another. Not my truth or my version of the truth, but the truth that comes from his word. And yes, not from a computer, because it could be accurate, but I want it to come from the power of the Holy Spirit through a life that has been changed, to say, I am sharing this with you because I love you with the same love that Christ loves you. I want you to grow. I want you to be set free. I want you to be born into his family. I want you to grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Church, we're one, and we have to work at this unity, and we have to continue to encourage it through the offices and through the gifts that he's given us, you know, of sharing the word of God, of teaching the word of God, as the Holy Spirit of God will lay it upon our hearts, so that we can be equipped to do this work together, and the church will grow and people will know, because then we will be a people that not only just look at them and point fingers and say, you better do this and that. They see the love that we have for them, that we desire for them to come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. That's what it's all about. Why church? Why unity? so the world may know that we are his, and that he sent us into the world, and they will know that we are his by that unity and the love we have one for another. Speak the truth in love to one another. If I get to the point where, first of all, if I stop speaking the truth, throw me out as fast as you can. But if I speak the truth and I forget about love, hit me upside the head and say, what's wrong, Pastor Joe? Where's the love gone? Has it grown cold? What's the matter? See, we can say sometimes correction to one another from the Word of God. But instead of getting angry and pointing fingers at each other, we speak it in love. I love you, my brother. I love you, my sister. I'm sharing this with you because I love you. I come and share these things with you. I come and we do Wednesday night Bible study. Why? Because it's something to do? No, because we love one another. And we want to share these truths so that we grow together. Do you feel equipped better today? I hope so. I hope that every time we get together, you come away feeling more equipped to do the work of the ministry that you and I all have together. And if we're not doing that, it's time to go home. But he didn't blow the trumpet yet. So we keep on. We'll keep on going. We'll keep on going. Keep on preaching. Keep on teaching. Keep on being equipped. Keep on working to speak truth to love, in love to one another, as we continue to allow ourselves to keep this unity in the bonds of peace. Father, thank you for this reminder from your word about why we are together. It's one body, Lord, your body. We are hands, we're your feet, we are ears and eyes, and Lord, we're your tongues and lips. And Father, we need to be equipped. We need to grow. We need to grow up in all things unto you, because you are the head of this body. And that, Father, when all of us avail ourselves to the gifts that you've given us in the church, and that we are equipped to do the work that you've set before us, then the body functions, Father. You know this properly, and I pray that, Father, we would understand this, that we would want to be and desire to be a well-functioning body, that, Lord, it's our prayer for one another, that we would be knitted together in love, that your effective working within us would let every part do its share, and it would cause then the body to grow, to be edified in your love. In Jesus' name, amen.